Joshua, Judges, then the book of Ruth, chapter 1, in your Scofield Bible, page 315. We'll be reading the first 18 verses. Verses 1 through 18, reading the verses responsibly. Please let us stand now for the reading of God's Word. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each of her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead, and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And let's pray. Bless the service, Lord. We thank you for your word. Bless it now sweetly. Speak to our hearts. Bless with power thy preacher. And help us that we would be attentive and to, of course, to listen carefully to the word as it's preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Father, we come to the preaching of thy word for these almost 95 years. The old church has stood somewhere near here. And for 22 and a half of those years, this preacher has stood behind this pulpit and opened this book and spoken from it. What a miracle to think that the same man could stand for almost a quarter of a century on the same corner and preach from the same book over and over again. And yet the people would still come to hear what the book says. Now, Lord, you have a specific, special reason for this message. And I can't help these people if they won't listen to me. Not a one can I help. If they're sleeping, I can't help them. They're writing notes, talking to each other, I can't help them. Their mind's wandering, no way I can help them. So, Lord, I pray you'd give me their attention. And I promise you I'll give you mine. And if you will tell me something or put something on my heart that I ought to say, I promise you I'll say it if I understand it. Now, if there's something that I plan to say, I should not say, make me forget it. There's something I should say, I've not planned to say. I pray you'd alert me to it. And may those who hear me be just as careful to listen and obey. Amen. It looks exactly like you think it would. If you've never seen it, you would not be disappointed, because the pictures that you have in your mind of the little town, little city, are as near to accurate as any mental images could possibly be. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. The city of Bethlehem, located 10 miles from Jerusalem, just across the Mount of Olives, and a few miles down the road past the little place called Bethany, is exactly what you think it would look like. It looks like today, it must have looked like 2,000 years ago. It is this typically Middle East and ancient Middle East as any of the cities that I've seen in Palestine. Living in that little city was the city of the birth of our Lord, the city of the childhood and rearing of King David, and the city of so many of the events of the Word of God, was a man named Elimelech. He was a good man. His very name signified that God was his king. He had a wife, a very pleasant wife. In fact, her name was pleasant. Her name was, in our language, Naomi. They had two sons as fruit of their love. One was named Mahlon, and the other was named Chilion. This is a godly home. This is no home. If they lived today, they would have not even known a tune to a rock music number. If they had lived today, they would have never touched even a Cosmopolitan or Ladies' Home Journal magazine. They would have thought all in the family dealt with the family of God. And they would have thought that MASH was something you do to a bug that might offer danger in the house. This was a godly family. If they lived today, they'd read their Bible every day. They'd pray together every day. They'd say grace at the table. They would train their children. Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion, a typical happy family in the loveliest of cities, the little town of Bethlehem. One day, about quitting time, as Elimelech was leaving his place of employment, his employer called to him and said, "Elimelech, I'd like to talk with you for a while." Elimelech went over and said, "Well, of course, what can I do for you?" And he said something like this, "I'm sure you understand that work has not been plentiful. You understand that our sales and have not been as good as usual. And we're going to have to let somebody go. Now, Elimelech, we feel we can call you back to work before too long. But for now, we're going to have to lay you off." Elimelech was shocked. He goes home that night and he tells Naomi and the boys. He gathers them around the circle and he says, "I've got some news I want to tell you. It's not good news. Your dad is unemployed. I guess I know of nothing that hurts the ego of a breadwinner any more than that condition of unemployment. But your dad, he said, is unemployed. Night after night, Elimelech came in. He'd been looking for a job all day. He had tried to find some place of employment. Famine had come to the land, or at least a recession or a depression had come to the land, a drought maybe. And night after night, Elimelech comes home. I think I can see him coming home. I think I can see the Judean hills over which he had traveled, trying to find employment for the day. I believe I can see the little town nestled there in the Judean hills, near where the shepherds heard the angels announce the coming of the Christ child. Naomi, being a pleasant lady, would meet him perhaps at the door and say, "Honey, how was it today?" Maybe a furrowed brow, maybe a shoulder stooped with a burden of unemployment a little heavier than usual. Maybe a quivering lip. Maybe a moistened eye dried because of the shame of the ego of masculinity. He would say, "Honey, I found nothing." "Why, that's okay. We'll find something. Here, God's going to take care of us." The next night, the same thing. And the next night, the same thing. And finally, one night he came home and he said, "Honey, I know you and the boys are having it tough. I know it's awful rough on us. But I've heard something. I've heard that down in Moab, they hardly know of the recession. Why, there are jobs aplenty in Moab. And I've heard that they don't even know about the trouble we're having in this area. Now, do you think maybe we ought to take Malan and Chilion and go down there?" Now, don't misunderstand me. We're going to come back as soon as the recession is over. We're going to come back and as soon as jobs become plentiful. But reckon we not ought to consider going down there, and we won't stay long. We'll just sojourn or pass through. And what do you think about that?" Well, Naomi says, "Honey, this is our home. This is all we know. Bethlehem is a very sacred place, and our religion is here. Our God works here. And you know the warning in the Bible about the Moabites. You know the descendants of father of the Moabites and how he was born. And you know the history of the race. And you know that God's people are not supposed to go to Moab. You know that. And all of that, we're not supposed to live anywhere according to the financial conditions. We're supposed to live in the will of God. If we starve to death, we're supposed to live in the will of God." And Elimelech says, "But honey, you don't understand this. I'm a man. It's my job to feed this family. We'll think about it." And word keeps coming from Moab as the unemployment situation becomes more severe. Word keeps coming from Moab that jobs aplenty are in Moab. And they don't even know they're having a recession or depression at all. And we ought to think about it. And Naomi and Elimelech began to think. You see, when somebody begins to talk about doing wrong, they're on the road to doing wrong. When you begin to entertain the possibility of leaving the will of God, 9 times out of 10, you'll leave the will of God. And 9 times out of 10, you'll rationalize that leaving the will of God is the will of God. And so they began to talk. If Balaam had never entertained the men from Moab, he'd never have gone to Moab. And if David had not been home when he should have been fighting, he'd never have known his escapades with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah. And if Peter had not been warming at the fire of the evil ones, he would never have denied his Lord. And if Samson had not even met or socialized with heathen people, he would never have crossed the path of the wiles of Delilah. You see, they entertained it. And as they thought of it, did you ever talk about buying a new car? Whenever the first time you ever talk about it, you may as well go down and buy it, because you're going to get one. I mean, it's fever. I saw a little yellow Plymouth years ago. I was driving down Garland Road. Cutest little yellow Plymouth. Had yellow yellow and white, and inside it was had a sort of a mingled yellow and black upholstery. I never saw anything like that in my life. I took one look at that, and it winked at me as I drove by the car lot and flirted with me every time I drove by. Why, it was love at first sight. Now, I didn't have enough courage for a while to ask it for a date, but it wasn't long. We were going steady. And we had one little date, and the date was only around a block. But as soon as I sat down in that little baby, I knew we were going to get married. And I also knew it was expensive marriage because she was so pretty, she demanded a lot of makeup. And I had to keep her up. And so, but I got it. Now, it's that way. Once you start considering sin, then usually you can find out some way to rationalize that black is no longer black and sin is no longer sin. And after all, people in Moab, they need the gospel too. How are they going to get saved? If we all in Bethlehem stay up here, how are the Moabites going to hear the gospel? Oh, there are a lot of things that Moab, that Naomi and Elimelech could have talked about. And so, sure enough, one day they packed up their belongings. Oh, if they had some preacher to say, don't do it. They had somebody to stand up and say, hey, Moab, Naomi, Elimelech, don't do it. You know what God says about leaving His will. You know God led you here. You know this is where God wants you. And you know that. And yet now you're taking your boat. Don't do it. Don't do it. Tragedy is on down the road. Don't do it. Don't do it. Never choose a place where you live according to financial conditions. That's not the criterion. But leave they would. And leave they did. But they just went to stay for a while. We're just going to stay for a while, Pastor, they said. We're just going to stay for a while. We're not even going to sell the house back here. We're just going to stay for a while. Nobody ever goes into sin to stay. I mean, nobody ever said, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll become an alcoholic. Nobody ever says that. No gal ever says, you know what I want to be? I want to be a prostitute. That's what I want to be. I want to go to school and major in prostitution. Most of the colleges do nowadays, you know. But nobody ever says that. Nobody ever says, I know what I want to do. I want to be an addict to marijuana. Nobody ever says that. It's just one little smoke to see what it's like. It's just one little drink not to be different from the crowd. It's just one little night of promiscuity so you can see what it's like. You've always wanted to know what it's like. That's all it is. But listen, everybody who goes into sin stays even though they intended just to sojourn. And so to Moab they go. Oh, my soul. When Elimelech got to Moab, brother, he picked up the newspaper and turned to the classified section, and there were jobs aplenty. I mean, just what he could do. And he had a hard time deciding which one for which he ought to apply. And so, finally, he got himself a good job. And you know, they found a fella that was moving to another house when they got there. And do you know what? They bought it the first day, and Naomi said to Elimelech, God must be in this. I'll tell you, God must be in this. Boy, we found a house the first day, and it's just what we wanted. Don't you see that rationalization? Don't you see that kind of logic? Nothing in the world but people who leave the will of God trying to blame God and pull God in on their backslidden condition. And do you know what? They got the beautiful house. And you know what? The children went to a public school. And did you know that it wasn't near as bad as they thought it was going to be? Why, we thought our preacher told us some awful bad things about this. But we don't see much wrong with it. When you get backslidden, you don't see much wrong with anything. And your eyes are dim concerning right and wrong. And that which was wrong is not wrong. And so, what happened? They are now in Moab, but now don't you think for a single minute they didn't go to church. Why? They went to the First American Baptist Church in Moab. And they went regularly. And do you know what?
Why, it wasn't near as bad as Brother Howes used to tell us it was. Why, I tell you, this is a little different. They sing, but they don't sing about Jesus, and they don't have an invitation. But why, that's a good man. I'll be what Brother Howes only learn to talk to that man and learn how to be nice and suave and kind. And boy, I haven't heard a negative sermon since I've been here. And you haven't heard a Bible sermon since you've been there either. And so, but we like it here. And they wrote their friends back home and said, their job's done here for you too. And they said, look, we're in a good church. Of course, now we haven't had anybody saved since we got here, but the preacher says that the harvest is going to come. The preacher says some sow and others reap. Isn't that sweet? And you know, we've learned more Bible since we've been down here than we ever learned in Bethlehem. Of course, crazy fool never does do anything about souls. He's got plenty of time to study about the types of the tabernacle. He's got plenty of time to tell you the types and doctrine that God hadn't even learned about yet. And so, but, oh my, and what a time. And you know,
and then one day, Malin comes home from school. Malin says, Mama, I want you to meet somebody. He's got that bilious look. Now, Naomi had been noticing, he'd been using a half a bottle of Menin aftershave on his smooth, baby-like chin. And she had noticed that he'd been using a little dab of Brill Cream. And that little dab lately had become a big glob of Brill Cream. And he comes home and says, Mama, I want you to meet somebody. Boy, I am in love. And Naomi says, well, son, is that right? Is she a good Christian girl? Well, Mom, you know better than that. There are no Christian girls down here. Well, son, I wanted you to have a Christian girlfriend. Just go with Christians. Well, Mom, why did we stay in Bethlehem then? I didn't want to leave anyhow. I liked it there. Well, son, you got to understand, you can just go with Christians. But, Mom, there ain't no Christians at our school. Well, son, is she clean? Well, yeah, she takes a bath quite often. But I don't mean that, son. Is she loose with the boys? Well, oh, come on, Mom. You're not going to go back to those old rules of Bethlehem, are you? We don't have demerits down here, Mom. They tell me that's old fogey and fuddy-duddy. And all those old rules about not holding hands and not kissing and hugging. Why, Mom, the school psychologist told me that it wasn't healthy emotionally. You're supposed to express yourself. And if you want to do something, give vent to it. That's of the devil. And the woman bows her head and she said, well, son, I don't guess there's much I can do. But, Mama, I love her. And the woman sat with a veil over her face, with her heart breaking in two. When Malin, her son, was wed to an idolatrous wife, a heathen woman.
One day, Chilion came home and said, hey, Mom, I got me a girlfriend. And Malin started going, da 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 da.
And Mom said, what kind of girl is she? Well, she's pretty, Mom.
And she's sweet. And she says she loves me.
Son, have you done wrong?
Oh, Mama, there's no wrong. After all, we've been down out to the Toys R Us place reading all that sexy stuff they sell little boys and girls nowadays. And I want to make this very plain. Everybody that trades at Toys R Us ought to write a letter and tell them, take the dirty, sexy little boys and girls nude and committing sex and every kind of filth under the sun. Being sold at Toys R Us. This is not enough for Playboy to wreck the minds of our young people. It's filth and vile for Toys R Us to ruin the lives of our little boys and girls, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years of age. Dirty sex education crowd has just about ruined the whole nation.
And then the day comes when Malin Chilion both have wives.
Mama, can I go to church with My girlfriend, they had said before marriage. Well, son, they go to a church that doesn't believe the Bible. They go to a church of idolatry. Oh, but Mama, she says she'll come with me on Sunday morning if I'll go with her. I'm sorry, she'll come with me on Sunday night. The bad churches don't have church on Sunday night. And that's the only good thing about these liberal churches. They don't give any more to the heathen stuff on Sunday night, and they close up on Sunday night. And as Vance Havner used to say, the only thing about these liberal churches that don't have church on Sunday night is that they do have church on Sunday morning. But, Mom, she'll go with me on Sunday night, and I'll go with her on Sunday morning. And there's nothing the devil would rather you do than dip your sails and go to some liberal, anti-Christ, anti-virgin birth, anti-deity of Christ, anti-heaven, anti-hell, anti-God, anti-verbal inspiration of the Scripture church. There's nothing to... ladies say, well, I'll tell you, I'd go to any church if my husband would just go. Now, honey, don't you say that. And so, he went with her on Sunday morning, and she came with him on Sunday night. I want to tell you, and I want everybody in the house to hear me. Every teenager in this house, every young person, you have no right in this world even setting your foot inside the door of a church that does not believe this Bible. My Bible said, if any man come unto you and have not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bid him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed. When you stand before God Almighty, you're going to give an account for the wickedness and filth of the cultism and the liberal crowd if you even entertain them in your house, because you're a partaker of their filthy deeds. You say, Brother Jack, when are you going to quit criticizing other churches? First place, I don't criticize churches. I criticize so-called churches. I criticize these liars. Put the word church out in front of a building. But they don't even believe this book is the Word of God.
And then one day, the word came to Elimelech and Naomi that their kids were married. And then, of course, you know the story. Naomi then, one day, hears the word that her husband is gone. And that her son, Mahlon, is sick. And one by one, her husband, Mahlon and Chilion, are taken by illness. And soon, the monster of death has wrapped his arms around them and taken them to eternity. She goes out to the cemetery and places Elimelech's body. Elimelech, you never dreamed, did you, that your body would turn to dust, the Moabite dust, did you? Just came down to sojourn, didn't you? Just came to pass through, didn't you? And now you boys married to heathen women. And now then, you've died and you've paid for getting out of the will of God. Let me tell you something, folks. There is only one place in this world that you can be happy and content and productive, and that's in the will of God. Now, I want to say this. If you're not happy in the will of God, you still ought to be in the will of God. I am so sick, Doc, of people coming to my office and saying, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. The Bible never said go into all the world and be happy. See John Huss as the flames are lapping at his body. And as they say, you're about to go into eternity and see him as he died at the stake, a martyr. Can you hear him say, what are your last words, Huss? Huss says, I'm not happy. See Polycarp, mentioned this morning, as they light the flames to burn his body. And the flames cannot burn his body, for God had put asbestos clothing on him. They had to take a spear and kill him with a spear. See, what do you say, Polycarp?
I'm just not very happy.
I don't expect Paul was real, what you call happy, in the Mamertine prison. I don't expect John the Baptist was living the abounding life of positive power of positive thinking. And I don't expect John the Baptist had much positive thinking. When the sword came toward his head, and he was served for lunch on the king's platter. Who said God's people are supposed to be happy? There is a God, and that God has a will for my life. And my job is to do that will, come sunshine or cloud, come noontime or midnight, come clear days or cloudy days, come victories or defeat, come laughter or sorrow, come rejoicing or tears. My job is to get in and stay in the will of God until I see Him face to face. My job is not to figure out how I can be happy. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and I'm not trying to get back at anybody. I'm trying to help you. God never said we're supposed to be happy. He did say, my joy I give unto you. And you can have joy when you're not happy. For 16 months, I didn't spend a happy day as pastor of this church. But I could go to bed at night with the joy of the Lord in my soul because I knew I'd stayed in the will of God another day when I didn't want to. David Livingston left his wife alone and explored the jungles of Africa and not only Christianized it but civilized it with his wife. Sick. He wouldn't take her because he was afraid he knew she could not take it. And scandal and gossip began to come. He went back and his wife died on the fields. Adoniram Judson did the same thing. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs someday. Read about the Christian people who were boiled in oil. Read about how they took them and put them behind teams of horses and tied their feet to the tails of the horses, and the horses ran down cobblestone streets while the brains of God's people fell out on the streets. Why? Because they believed in God. See the little bundle of Christian people huddled together in the Colosseum. Hear the great crowd of thousands and tens of thousands chanting, we want the Christians, we want the Christians, we want the Christians. Hear the vendors barking their advertising, their merchandise, and see the hungry lions in their cages down at the end of the Colosseum field, and see them as the Christians gather around in a little circle, and the hungry lions, unfed for days, come in their cages, roaring and pacing to and fro for a meal. And see them as the little Christians get together and huddle and sing whatever they sang for Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And see them as they were marching toward the lions. And the lions took their bodies and ripped them and ate them to death. What? I don't imagine they said, boy, it's a happy day. Whoever said God's people are supposed to be what the world calls happy anyhow? Stivey care to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. No, sir, I'm a spite if I would gain. And brother, we need in 1982, we need some old-fashioned Christian soldiers and Christian warriors who say, all that matters is the will of God, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone, every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His Word commands, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Whoever said Christian teenagers are supposed to be happy? I don't think I was ever happy reading Beowulf. I don't recall that the Lady of the Lake ever really delighted me greatly. As far as I was concerned, William Shakespeare could go to the Booger Man. I never did like one that appealed with his short estote, the draught of March has pierced the rote and bothered the vein in speech to the court. I didn't care for that stuff. I never did like hunting for X. Why, you would think that a school these days is supposed to be a youth activity. You would think that school teachers are supposed to be Dale Carnegie's. Why, you'd think the whole thing is to cater to a bunch of kids. No, sir. It's to teach our kids do right, do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. Do right if it's hard. Do right if it's bad. Do right if it's sad. Do right if you're happy. Do right if you're not happy. Do right if you laugh. Do right if you're sad. Do right if you're on top. Do right if you're on bottom. That's what it's all about. This modern brand of Christianity knows no bloodshed, knows no sacrifice, knows no martyrdom, knows no prisons, knows no guillotines, knows no swords, knows no stakes. I've been studying over in Jeremiah recently where it says if you can't take it now when everything is fine, what are you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? And so the old man walks away three times. Three times she walks away. On one tombstone, there's a word Elimelech. Right beside that, there's a word Malan.
Not beside that is the word Chilean. Hear me. Hear me. She says to her daughters-in-law, I'm going to go back. It's been 10 years. 10 years. I thought you went to sojourn. Yeah, we did. You're an alcoholic? I thought you just want to take a social drink. Yeah, we did.
You mean you're a wicked, immoral, lascivious person?
I thought you just wanted a neck and pet one night. Yeah, that's what I thought.
You mean you're hooked on dope? I thought you just wanted to smoke one little pot one time.
Yeah, that's what I did. You mean you've been here 10 years, Naomi? Yes. And the bodies of my husband and my two sons will stay here. It is time I went back to my people and my God. Now she said to Orpah and Ruth, her daughters-in-law, she said, you better stay here. I have no more boys you could marry. I'm too old to have a baby now and give you husbands. And if I could, you'd be old before they were old enough to get married. Now you stay here. This is where your friends are. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Notice the decisions that gal made that day. That little heathen gal said, where thou goest, I will go. She chose the Christian path for her life.
She said, die, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. She chose a Christian home for her life. She said, thy people shall be my people. She chose the Christian friends for her life. She said, thy God, my God. She chose the Christian God for her life. She said, well, thou diest, will I die. She chose the Christian burial for her life and death. And then where I be buried, she chose the Christian burial and she chose the Christian eternity for her life.
But now, wait a minute. Naomi begins to walk away, and Ruth by her side. Orpah, are you going? Well, we've been walking toward that direction all along, but I guess I'll stay. Orpah, you're a fool. The God of Bethlehem is the Christian God. You could choose Christian friends. Orpah turns sadly and joins that great crowd of people that turned back. She joins that crowd that included John Mark, who got scared on the first missionary journey and got homesick. And the little yellow-bellied coward went back home to his mommy. I want to go back to mommy. You know what I think sometimes? I think every couple gets married ought to just go to a foreign country and never see mommy again. Well, that's going to make me friends with a lot of grandmothers here, I'm sure. I'll tell you, and I'm not talking about anybody, but there's a heap too much interfering with married couples on the part of grandmamas and granddaddies.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, I didn't think this afternoon and in a week what you'd like when I planned this sermon, but I thought what you needed.
I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you.
I'm going to go home to Mama. Man across the street, he brought his wife a rose.
I'm not trying to hurt him, and I have nobody in mind. You're preaching to me.
Not on purpose. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, Orpah said, let's go back. And John Mark joined John Mark. She joined that crowd like Lot's wife, who looked back to Sodom.
And the rich young ruler
who turned back.
And Barnabas
who didn't go on the second missionary journey.
And the Israelites that saw the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey,
but did not go in but went back in the wilderness.
She joined the crowd that contains Judas Iscariot,
who turned back and betrayed his Lord.
She joined those well-known dropouts such as Pilate, and Ahab, and Lot, and Samson, and Saul, and Solomon, and Rehoboam, and Cain, and Esau, and Ham, and Achan, and Korah.
Some of you folks are about to join that crowd too. Sure as God be God, and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Some of you folks are just about to join that crowd. Join that crowd. You're just about to join the crowd of all the others that couldn't take it in the will of God. But you say, Brother Hines, everything's gone bad. You don't know what going bad is. Usually what we think is going bad is what's going good. And I'll guarantee you, the day is going to come when you look back in your life, and as I've said so often, the places that you thought were mountains, you'll find those were valleys. And the places that you thought were valleys when you're going through them, you'll find those are the mountain peaks of your life. And so Ruth goes to Bethlehem. Ah, it's a beautiful story. Beautiful. She one day was out gleaning in the fields with the poor people who could just get the leftovers, what the harvest didn't get. And the boss man saw her out there. Fellow named Boaz. In the Bible, it's spelled booze. That's the favorite scripture of the rescue mission men. He's their favorite Bible character. They like old booze. And Boaz said, "Who is she?" And they said, "She's a little Moabitess gal. She got saved." He said, "She's saved? Yeah. She trusted our God. She's up here from Moab, but she's a born again one. She's living for God." He said to his harvest fellows in the harvest field, he said, "Tell you what you do." He said, "Miss the sack with some of your harvest." He said, "When you get that barley," he said, "make like you're putting it in the sack and go beside the sack. Just drop some handfuls of purpose." And he watched her. And then he came out and he said, "Hello." And she said, "Hello." And she said, he said, "Who are you? What's your name?" That's what he said. He said, "Come on." And if you pick up your Bible today and look in the early verses of the book of Matthew, when our Lord tells us about the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, and tells us about those that were part of the seed carrier, I find in Matthew 1:5 it says, "And Simon beget Booz of Ramah, and Booz or Boaz beget Obed of Ruth." Little gal got her name in the Bible. Got her name in the Bible. And down in Moab, a little gal named Orpah kept hearing the news. And tonight in heaven, a sweet little woman named Ruth rejoices round the throne. And tonight, one who could have been there probably burns in the fires of hell, Orpah, because she turned back. Now, somewhere in the message tonight, it's bound to have been something that knocked on your door. Maybe one little statement. Maybe just one thing I said in the message tonight. Maybe it was Elimelech leaving Bethlehem that affected you. Maybe it was the children marrying heathen that worried you. Maybe it was the boys dying prematurely that bothered you. Maybe it was just going into sin a little bit that bothered you. Maybe it was Orpah refusing to continue on that bothered you. Or maybe there's some little statement, I don't know what it was. Maybe some little statement somewhere with the reason that you came to church tonight and the reason this sermon met you on your pathway. Our Father, bless the truths that have been preached from this pulpit. Heap up them tonight. And I pray that you'd help us to apply the message each to himself.